This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau was in Winnipeg yesterday afternoon where she made an announcement regarding the impacts of ongoing drought conditions in Canada's West. We will have her complete announcement as well as reaction from the Manitoba Beef Producers, the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association, and the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan. There was a fairly wicked storm that moved through much of Saskatchewan last night. We had hail reports from Foam Lake, Oakla, Invermay areas. Had some rain here, a really good thunderstorm, and it sounds like there was damage done right across the province. We will have an update on that as well. Regina-based Farm Credit Canada is reporting a strong financial performance in the past year despite the pandemic. We will hear from their president, Michael Hoffert. And grain markets were on a downward slide this week. It's our weekly interview with Adam Piccolo with PI Financial Commodities in Regina. All that and much more on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Phil, we had a good thunderstorm last night roll through. It seems like it settled the dust and the smoke. It's mainly sunny here now.
Yeah, and we've got more of the sunshine in store the next few days. The temperature is likely very consistent from day to day, right through the weekend, right into the start of next week. The biggest change is actually going to be the wind. Our wind today, not overly strong. Let me check the last little while. We've been in the 15 to 20 range. We'll stay there, maybe as high as 30 at times this afternoon. The air is dry, so that low wind, the lighter wind, keeps the fire danger in check a bit. As the wind picks up tomorrow and it stays rather dry, that comes up. Tonight, clear sky. It's cool. That's the trade-off of the dry air. As we drop up to 14, that's actually close to normal. I'm calling it cool. It's slightly above normal. Normal low is under 11. So at 14, we're on par with that. Daytime, though, well above normal. Normal high, 24. Tomorrow's high, 28. Again, that gusty wind, 20 to 40 kilometers per hour. Gusting likely 50 to 60 at times during the afternoon. Very high fire danger tomorrow. Clear sky for Saturday night. Mostly sunny sky will follow on Sunday. Low 14 again, high 29. And those nighttime lows will continue to dip down into the mid-teens. The air stays dry. But likewise, those afternoon temperatures, upper 20s, to a few low 30s. We do have this blocking high, this blocking warm air mass that's in place. What we're not seeing, though, are those extreme temperatures getting into the mid-30s. Over the course of the next week or two, the pattern will shift around a little bit. We may get a brief taste of that, but overall, the trend looks to be this upper 20s, low 30s range to be our warm points.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw and Shoal Lake Russell are at 24 degrees, Swan River 23, Dauphin 25, Brandon 26, Roblin and Regina 22. Saskatoon is at 26, Hudson Bay 25, Broadview, Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 24, Indian Head 22. The Yorkton Melville region has a sunny sky, a west northwest wind at 22 kilometers an hour. 27% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 24 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 30 degrees and dropped to a low of 19 degrees. There was 4.8 millimeters of rain that fell in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 24 degrees. The normal low is 11 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 5:02 this morning, and it will set at 8:51 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Gretna at 32 degrees, the cold spot Churchill at 8 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Coronach at 36 degrees. The cold spot was Scott, which got down to plus 5 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. As the federal government looks to manage impacts of ongoing drought conditions in Canada's West, producers in parts of five provinces can already expect to be eligible for the Livestock Tax Deferral Program. Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau made the announcement yesterday afternoon in Winnipeg.
On the federal side today, we are announcing an early list of regions in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, British Columbia, and Ontario that are eligible for livestock tax deferral due to the recent extreme drought conditions. We are now working to identify other affected regions. These actions will allow affected producers in these regions to defer a portion of their 2021 income from sales to next year. This will help them manage cash flow this year and reduce the tax burden next year by expensing the purchase of new breeding animals. Our government is also moving on a number of important measures in collaboration with provincial governments. Today, I am also announcing federal support to all Prairie provinces for immediate bilateral changes to the cost-shared crop insurance programs to make drought-damaged crops available for feed. These measures will increase the amount of crops available for livestock producers to help alleviate the dire shortage of feed. We are also supporting Manitoba's proposal to expedite any payments under the cost-shared disaster hay benefit. As of last week, we received the initial request from five provinces to start the process of putting together an agri-recovery disaster relief program. Federal and provincial officials are now working together to do the assessments and design those programs province by province. We are working around the clock to turn those around as quickly as possible to help farmers with the extraordinary costs they face. There are other areas where we can collaborate with the provinces. For example, allowing late participation for agri-stability to allow more producers to access support. Producers can also get immediate assistance by applying for interim payments under agri-stability. Canada's agriculture ministers have also delivered on producers' long-standing request to remove the reference margin limit from agri-stability. This could put around $95 million a year into the pockets of Canadian producers who need it most. And raising the compensation rate to 80% would put another $75 million in their pockets. I'm urging the Prairie provinces to move forward on that as well. Farm Credit Canada has also announced that it is committed to working with customers affected by drought with solutions such as short-term credit options and deferral of principal payments. And for those struggling with mental health issues, FCC offers an online resource called Rooted in Strength, which lists the many resources available. We will continue to explore every avenue to help our world-class farmers and ranchers and their families through this crisis. Farmers do so much for our food security and our economy. They demand and deserve our support. I know that I speak for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and myself when I say to all producers affected by the disaster, we have your back to get through the challenges of today and to position you for a sustainable future in agriculture. And we will do all we can to help you get back on your feet and once again producing the best food in the world.
Then the president of the Manitoba Beef Producers, Tyler Fulton, who has a livestock operation near Bertel, had this response to the announcement.
Manitoba Beef Producers represents approximately 6,000 cattle producers in the cow-calf backgrounding and finishing sectors. I'd like to thank Minister Bebeau for the announcement. These are meaningful announcements. I wanted to thank you really for these announcements. And I wanted to thank their staff and the provincial staff as well that toured today to see the severity of the situation firsthand. We look forward to collaboration with AAFC, Manitoba Agriculture and Resource Development, and other groups like CAP who are working on this issue. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Manitoba's cattle industry. It's a key economic driver of the province. Beef producers provide valuable ecosystem services such as habitat for wildlife, preserving wetlands, and sequestering carbon. And producers and their families are a key part of the fabric of our rural communities, supporting rural businesses and services and volunteering their time to a variety of activities. And really all of this is at risk. Because of the drought challenges, some producers are making the very difficult decision to disperse part or all of their herds. It's a heavy toll on their mental health. One family who we heard from at the office this week had to disperse their whole herd. And I'd like to try to tell you what they said. They said, can you imagine how it feels to see your years of hard work and love for farming go onto a truck? This is our livelihood. It's heartbreaking. As beef producers, we truly appreciate the support that we've been receiving from other producers and from the general public too. And what I'm referring to is the crop producers that have taken the action to convert their failing crops to livestock feed. It's one of the really critical things that happens today, because time is running out. And talking to one another is key. If producers need help, we encourage them to reach out to resources like Manitoba Farm Rural and Northern Support Services. In closing, I'd again like to thank the minister and representatives here today for the announcement and to support and the support for producers. It's truly appreciated. We look forward to continued discussions with governments about initiatives to help tackle the drought affecting so many Manitoba producers in all sectors.
The Canadian Cattlemen's Association and other groups had previously called for the immediate implementation of the tax deferral program, as well as an expansion of the program to include other classes of livestock, among other requests. It's time now for the AgriView portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX94, AgriView.
Manitoba's Crop Insurance Agency is set to lift the per metric ton rate paid out on insured forage crops to help cover livestock producers' bills to buy and truck in replacement feed. Manitoba Agricultural Services Corporation, or MASC, has announced a 2021 hay disaster benefit to provide another $44 per metric ton for every metric ton below average, to help offset added costs due to the severe shortage of available forage in the province. The hay disaster benefit was last triggered in 2019, when over $5 million was paid out on almost 1,200 claims. Relating to another announcement yesterday, MASC also announced it will apply a quality adjustment factor to appraisals or crops being put to alternate use, such as green feed. A 60% adjustment factor to in-field appraisals will be applied on small grain cereals, including all varieties of wheat, oats, fall rye, barley, and triticale. The higher temperatures soared and the longer between rains in western Canada, the lower the yield projections for most crops, and drought-tolerant durum wheat is no exception. With bids already elevated due to a downturn in potential new crop supply, the price of durum could rise even higher. Durum production in Canada is expected to total 5.835 million metric tons for the 2021-22 crop year, according to Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's latest monthly crop estimates released Tuesday. AAFC downgraded its estimate for durum by 2.9% from the 6.01 million metric tons it predicted in June. In total, 6.571 million metric tons were produced during the 2020-21 crop year, meaning if estimates hold, durum is set for an 11.2% year-over-year decline. CN and CP Rail supplied a combined 69% of hopper cars ordered in grain week 49, a significant decline from the week 48 performance of 93%, reflecting a decline in performance on both CN and CP. CN's performance has now fallen below the 90% threshold for the second consecutive week, supplying 55% of cars ordered. Prior to the last 2 weeks, CN had successfully supplied 90% or more of hopper cars ordered on time for 12 straight weeks. CP's performance also declined week over week, supplying 83% of cars ordered as compared to 99% in the prior week. This marks the first week in the last 15 weeks which CP has failed to supply at least 90% of cars ordered on time. CN and CP combined will enter week 50 with 1,871 outstanding cars, a significant increase of 1,533 from the 338 cars outstanding at the end of week 48. The change in the outstanding car count represents an increase in the number of outstanding hopper cars on CN by 1,033 and on CP by 500. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return right after this. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and 24 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Well, as you just heard, Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau made some drought relief announcements following a tour of a cow-calf operation in Manitoba yesterday. She announced the early designation of the livestock tax deferral provision, but nearly half of the province is not included in the first announcement. Further designations are expected in the coming weeks after additional information is collected. Arnold Balicki is the chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association.
You know, our ask was for the entire province to be deemed areas that should be livestock tax deferral, and they picked and choose some areas, which this year is just not applicable. I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you, there are pockets, small pockets that receive some moisture, and so they're not bad. But for the most part, this entire province is in terrible shape. Give you an example. We have six pastures. We're hauling water to two right now. We started feeding into one pasture about a week ago, which would never ever do. Other years, we have 50 pair in that pasture. This year, we cut back to 38 because we were afraid the weather wasn't looking good as far as the drought. And that's the pasture that already ran out of feed. So anything that had tame pasture, a little bit older, it's done. It's done. That's all there's to it. And so they have to realize the drought doesn't stop at any municipal boundaries. That it, yes, there's pockets. I'll admit that. But they're so very few that I don't know how the province or the feds can ignore that fact. any type of help has to be province-wide.
Balicki has mixed feelings about the rest of Bibeau's announcement yesterday.
A lot of what was announced yesterday was just regurgitation of past announcements and their positions in the past. And so that was kind of disappointing, but there was some encouragement, I guess one can say. They are going to work on ag recovery, so that's encouraging, and hope we can get something out of that. You know, they said they would look further, looking into other areas for livestock tax deferrals. So there's a couple of things that maybe a guy should cheer up about, but for the most part, the announcements were already made. And I mean, they made the announcement on agri insurance to make drought damaged crops more available to livestock producers. That wasn't really a new announcement. Minister Merritt's announcement last week, that included that already. So
Balicki has been receiving calls and texts from cattle producers wondering why it's taking so long to come up with a per-head financial assistance program.
I've had producers call me since the announcement yesterday, and just totally, they just can't believe what's happened. Other segments of industries receive bags of money. Sometimes they don't even ask for it. You know, if one reference was made to the aerospace industry, you got $440 million. Last week, I think it was, and here's an industry in crisis, and we're asking the government to step up to the plate and help out. It just seems like it's taking forever to get any money into the hands of these producers, and you know, producers are on the edge. They don't know what to do, and if they keep stalling this whole thing, it's going to be too late to salvage any crop, because producers need money to buy the crop from the crop producers who are willing to let them come in and salvage. Producers need money to start doing something with their waterworks programs, whether it's digging a dugout or a new well or putting in some piping. They don't have it, and we understand there are lending institutions who are calling in their demand loans because they devalued cattle so bad that their security is short now, and they're demanding the loans, and even though producers are right up to date on their payments. So really a hard place to be. Actually, I guess between a rock and a hard place is one way to put that. So we're asking for a dollar per head basis. Producers can do what's best for their operation, whether that's putting in some fencing around the neighbor's crop or hauling feed in or hauling cattle out. Just do the per head basis, the payment, and let producers decide where the money should go.
That's Arnold Balicki from Shelbrook. He's the chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for August closed at 121.50 today. That's up 70. October live cattle closed at 127.15, up 47. August feeder cattle closed at 160.07, up 187. September feeder cattle closed at 162.52, up 182. August lean hogs closed at 107.35, up 70. October lean hogs closed at 92.62, up 90. And that's the livestock market conditions. Well, APAS welcomes the drought aid announcement from the federal government yesterday. Ottawa announced the livestock tax deferral on sales and adjustments to agri insurance to make drought-damaged crops available for feed. Agri recovery is being looked at to provide disaster aid for water development and feed supplies. APAS Vice President Ian Boxall says the measures do not go far enough. He says the early tax designation stops short of needed enhancements, including eligibility for yearlings and other cattle classes, as well as the deferral period from 1 to 5 years. He adds the designated area so far excludes 47% of RMs in Saskatchewan.
I think we need the provinces and the feds to get together and trigger ag recovery. This is a widespread drought in Canada, and we want to make sure that producers have the resources available to secure the agriculture sector moving forward.
What are your thoughts on the early tax deferral?
I think it's a good start. I think that's a great start, but I, I don't want to see. Producers have to sell off their herds. So let's not worry about tax. Let's get something in place where these people have the ability to access feed. Because as we know, when there's a shortage like this, feed prices will skyrocket. So let's get a program in place where these producers can access feed and figure out a way to access water for their animals so we don't have to see huge sell-offs where they need to worry about tax issues.
Do you want to see some financial support triggered by agri-recovery?
I think I'd like to see some financial support so that producers have the ability to secure the feed they require. That is what I'd like to see, yep.
What else are you after?
You know, I would encourage producers to talk to their, you know, in the announcement yesterday from the feds, they've extended the deadline for egg stability, and we all know that egg stability has its flaws, but it is happens to be one of the currently one of the only programs we do have that could be of benefit to livestock producers, and I'd encourage producers to talk to their accountants, and if it works, get enrolled, get access to the funds that are available.
So are you disappointed with yesterday's announcement?
No, I'm not disappointed, but I do think that our provincial and federal governments could get looking at doing maybe a little bit more for producers. No, I'm never disappointed when we get support from the government, but I do think the time is now for the governments to get together.
APAS is reiterating its call for an increased agri-stability compensation rate from 70 to 80%, along with an extension to the enrollment deadline. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Grain markets were on a downward slide this week. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo says canola is down $30 a metric ton for the week, while spring wheat futures have dropped 35 cents a bushel.
Starting off on the canola front, November canola declined approximately $30 a ton where it sits today. Right now, we're up about $10 a ton on the day, sitting at about $892 a ton. On the Minneapolis wheat front, September contract is down about 35 cents a bushel on the week. So from a technical standpoint, looking at the wheat market, we have seen a decline from the contract highs that were actually made on Tuesday this week. The September contract reached high of $9.43.5 a bushel. Today we're just sitting just under that $9 mark at about $8.95. So seems that there is a little bit of profit taking, a little bit of technical selling on the week. The weather is still threatening when it comes to the spring wheat side of things in the northern plains and the prairies here. This could drag down, obviously, wheat production here even more so. And I'm seeing still crops very stressed, especially in the Saskatchewan area. And I know many of the producers that I'm talking to are assessing whether they want to spray pesticide for grasshoppers or even just cut their poor crops for feed. So there's definitely, you know, some decisions that are having to be made here now with the crops the way they are.
What's the outlook for next week and beyond?
Well, a few different things I'm watching for here. So from a technical standpoint, I have seen a bit of some weak action here on the charts. And I think, again, due to some profit taking here as well, too, there has been some rain announcements when it comes for the Dakotas coming up in the 11 to 14 day forecasts. But again, it's not very much. So that's where if things stay the way that they are, I do want to see a resumption of the positive uptrend here on the wheat front. And then on the canola side of things, one thing I'm watching quite closely is actually soybean oil. So soybean oil looked like it wanted to retest the highs seen back in early June, but it sold off from there. So I think that's why we saw canola come down. And I'm as well watching too how the Canadian dollar is a bit of a factor here. So since actually the beginning of June, the Canadian dollar has declined now approximately 3.5 cents. So that might be supporting canola a little bit here, and I'm going to be watching that trend as well too.
Some producers have signed contracts to supply grain, but due to the drought, they won't be able to deliver. What's your suggestion for that?
I can speak from what I've heard from producers that they can do. And then I create strategies around that potentially. So obviously not having the grain, they may have to look at buying back some of their contracts. Now, you might be saying, well, I see keep seeing the price go higher and higher on this wheat, and it's a bit of a stab because you don't have anything to sell. Well, there are ways to look at participating in the upside of the market using futures or options in a risk limited way. Now, that might not be for everyone to do. However, you know, I've also heard too that grain companies might be allowing to roll into the contract for next year, but again, I would say that's where what my expertise is in is more on the future side of things, and I maybe try and help create a strategy for what the farm is doing on the cash.
Adam Piccolo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial in Regina.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed up in the nearby months today. November canola closed at $8.8340, up $2.10. January canola closed at $8.6740, up 70 cents. September Minneapolis wheat closed at $8.83.5, down 20.5 cents. September Kansas City wheat closed at $6.46 per bushel, down 7.75 of a cent. September Chicago wheat closed at $6.84 per bushel, down 8.25 cents. September corn closed at $5.47.25, down 17.25 cents. August soybeans closed at $14.01 per bushel, down 15.25 cents. September oats closed at $4.61.5, up 7 cents. And that's the commodities update. Well, very strong winds blew over much of Saskatchewan last night, and there were some severe thunderstorms and hail. Terry Lang is Environment Canada's meteorologist based in Saskatoon.
Lloyd Minster had quite a bit of pea-sized hail and some pretty strong wind gusts up to 87 kilometers per hour. Some golf ball-sized hail in Loon Lake as well. So that one storm went through. And just from everything that's, you know, from what we could see from the satellite picture, we know that there were some really big storms in northern Saskatchewan, but we often don't hear anything from there because they don't use social media the same way they do in the south here. Most people go on Twitter and chatter, but mostly up north they use Facebook to you know, report what happened. So we don't know what happened up there because we're not on Facebook, unfortunately. So we know that for sure there would have been a lot of stuff there.
Locally, we've received reports of hail damage from the Foam Lake, Okla, and Invermay areas. Arnold Balicki is a cattle producer north of Shelbrooke near Prince Albert. He says the storm came in quickly around 7 o'clock last night.
The wind was horrific, and we have canola fields that were in bloom last night, and this morning there's no blooms left. The leaves are off the branches, and we looked at some of our oats and whatever was there for kernels, and it wasn't much for kernels. It was mostly chaff, but that's all on the ground. So the hail came in pretty bad. We had marble-sized and bigger-sized hail here. It lasted about 20 minutes, but you go a mile and a half south of us, and they had egg-sized hail. So some pretty bad stuff out there.
Was there any damage to buildings?
Oh, yes. There's holes in sidings, and eaves troughs are all dented up, and actually took some of the covers off the shingles there. All that grit is down into the downspouts and onto the lawn. So,
for the most part, these storms did not contain large amounts of rain, according to Terry Lang at Environment Canada.
Highly variable amounts of rain because they were thunderstorms, right? So if you were lucky enough to get under a cloud, you got a fair bit. And if not, you got nothing. Like in Saskatoon, we just got a big blast of wind and that was it.
The largest official rainfall total was at Indian Head, with 33 millimeters, or about an inch and a half, reported yesterday. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time.
84.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. Calls to the farm stress line in Saskatchewan are up an estimated 20% this summer. Mobile Crisis Services operates the farm stress line, and Acting Executive Director Jan Thorson says the pandemic and hot, dry weather has led to rising farm stress.
Of course, we don't have our hard numbers in yet, but I feel safe in saying that they'll be up this summer. There's been a lot of dynamics that are affecting the agricultural community right now, and a lot of them are not very positive. So yes, more calls.
Are there any issues besides drought?
Yes, COVID seems to have brought to light lots of issues for people. So what we're seeing with our callers is more complex calls, more dynamics that are affecting them. The upside of that is no matter how many issues they're bringing to the table, people are really showing a willingness to explore those issues, work them through, find longer-term help than we offer out of this office, and address the issues that may have been simmering for a long time. COVID has sort of brought things to a head for a lot of people.
So how do you help farmers?
Well, a lot of what we try to do is let them self-direct the calls. We, of course, you know, we want to know what's the problem. And people can then have the opportunity to start describing to us what they're concerned about. And once you start that dialogue, the floodgates really open and people feel free to talk about whatever is bothering them at the moment. So it's really just a question of saying, how can I help you?
And how does someone contact you?
They can call us on the Farm Stress Line. We also accept email through our website. And I should mention that our website, Farm Stress Line, has lots and lots of resources. If people don't feel ready to call, and sometimes people aren't quite ready to call, there's lots of resources available to you through the website. So I encourage people to look that up and see what we have to offer there.
Are issues like anxiety, stress, alcohol, gambling, and family issues still a concern as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's been an uptick in, you know, substance abuse through the pandemic. Not seeing that as much as the farming community, as we're seeing people dealing with financial issues. Crops and livestock. Crops is a big one this year because, of course, it's not been the greatest year in terms of weather. The heat wave has not been anybody's friend. So we're seeing a lot around that, and certainly some addiction issues too.
Why is it so important to be open and to talk to someone if you have mental health issues?
Because a lot of people spend a lot of time worrying and feeling unhappy and depressed needlessly. I would never say that we have the solution to everybody's problems, because we don't. But quite often just talking about something puts it into a better perspective for people. And in some cases, if you need help, there is help available. You don't need to suffer alone. You can certainly reach out to us and we can make referrals for you if you need more help to a doctor or the medical health system. But bottling it up inside tends to take a terrible toll on us both emotionally and physically. So it's well worth it just to spit it out. And sometimes talking to a stranger is a lot easier than talking to people you're close to.
Do you have any idea how much calls are up this summer?
I'm going to guess about 20%, but don't, you know, not written in stone. I'd say 20.
Are there any other types of issues being brought up?
Sure. Lots of family issues. Lots of farmers have families, kids in school. That's been a struggle. The kids not being at school, trying to do things online. Sometimes internet connections aren't great. All of those things are putting tremendous pressure on families. There's been so much going on this year that people are really often feeling like they're at a breaking point.
And I guess it's nice to know that you're not alone. Other people have some of those same issues.
And that's the other thing. We're available 24 hours a day. So for those who worry in the middle of the night, it's a good place to call. Rather than lying in your bed worrying, give us a call and we'll talk you through it.
Jan Thorson is the Acting Executive Director of Mobile Crisis Services, which operates the Saskatchewan Farm Stress Line. Their toll-free number is 1-800-667-4442. Once again, that toll-free number, 1-800-667-4442. 4442. It's now coming up on 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Sunny skies, winds west-northwest at 15 to 30, and a high of 29 degrees. For tonight, clear, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, a low of 15. Tomorrow, sunny. Winds west-northwest at 20 to 40 and gusting higher at times, a high of 28. For Sunday, sunny. Winds northwest at 15 to 30, a high of 29. For Monday, partly sunny, a high of 31. Tuesday, partly to mainly sunny, a high of 33. In the Paw and Shoal Lake Russell, it's 24 degrees, Swan River 23, Dauphin 25, Brandon 26, Roblin 22. Regina and Indian Head are at 22 degrees, Saskatoon 26, Hudson Bay 25, Broadview Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 24. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a west-northwest wind at 22 kilometers an hour. 27% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 24 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.